devotees. In fact, when I suggested him last week that he will be in the last meeting for the semester, he was frightened in the beginning. He has not yet come to 16 rounds of chanting. How much you chant, Gaurav? Where is Gaurav? 9 rounds is chanting. So, generally, we have devotees chanting 16 rounds who come to speak here. But Gaurav was given a very special consideration because he was a university topper in the college and also one of the most dedicated organizers of Satnam at VIT College. And he has been helping us not only in the weekly programs but in the inside college programs also. So I was very greatly surprised to hear him today speak so wonderfully, so many examples. I gave him best marks for maintaining the interest of audience, 10 out of 10. Facing audience, he got 9 marks. Coverage, he got 9 marks. And of course, he's got 8 marks in many other criteria. Totally amounting to 80%. Also, loud Hari Bol. The questions are also quite brilliant today. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, देहापत्यकलत्रादिषु आत्मसंन्येष्वशत्सपि तेषां प्रमत्तो निधनं पश्यन्नपि न पश्यति. Very surprisingly, Bhagavatam says, पश्यन्नपि न पश्यति. Although he is seeing, he is yet not seeing. Have you ever seen somebody seeing and not seeing? Bhagavatam uses this term because it says a man has seen his grandfather dying. And he is seeing that his old father is also aging and is very soon going to die. And then he knows, I am also going to die. And then his son who is born is also going to die one day. So in this way, all the living beings in this world, they all have to leave their bodies and go to a different destination. But even after seeing this, with his own eyes, a person does not change his lifestyle. He does not inquire about God. Are the purpose of life. That is why it is called paschanapi, na paschati. Because our situation in the material world is something like a foaming bubble in the waves of an ocean. Just like when the waves are moving in an ocean, the bubbles come, they appear, stay for some time, and they disappear. In the same way, the body has appeared around us, and it stays for some time, and it disappears. Not only the body itself, but also wife, children, father, mother. All these relationships are actually temporary. They all are like foaming bubbles in an ocean. They come and they disappear. And they are put in a different situation. So, paschanapi na paschati, it is said. He is seeing but yet not seeing. Because it is not that the Shastras don't talk about seeing at all. They talk about seeing. In fact, the very meaning of the word darshan means seeing. Is it not? But the word darshan is used for philosophy. Darshanik means philosopher. So darshan means philosophy as well as sight. Why it is used? Because first you hear philosophy and then you get the sight. That is why the word darshan has two meanings. So the Shastras say that a common man with his blunt eyes, although he is seeing, he is actually not seeing. These are as good as blind eyes. Actually, many scholars have spoken about it, that if one has the eyes, but if he does not have knowledge, it is as good as he is blind. So that knowledge is actually spiritual knowledge. That is why the spiritual knowledge is called by the word darshan. Darshan means one which actually opens up your eye. So it is not that one cannot see God with his eyes. One can see. Because it is said in Brahma Samhita by that Brahma himself, premanjanacharita bhakti vilochanena santasvadeva hridayesha vilokayanti yashamasundaramachintagunasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. Ramaji is saying, premanjanacharita bhakti vilochanena. Vilochanena is actually the eyes. Those eyes which are tinged with the salve of love, they can see the form of Krishna. That means we come to know that seeing is believing in the spiritual platform, not on the material platform. In material platform, although you have the eyes, in one sense you don't have the eyes. Because Krishna says, Yanisha sarva bhutana, tasyam jagrati samyami, tasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyatomane. That was the word pasya is used. What is the meaning of the word pasya? Huh? Yeah, to see, isn't it? So there he is talking about two people, a materialist and a spiritualist. What is dark night for a spiritualist is like a daylight for a materialist. And what is daylight for a spiritualist is said to be dark night for a materialist. What it actually means is a spiritualist or a devotee of God relishes and rejoices in virtuous activities and he shuns sin. Whereas a materialist, he rejoices in sinful activities, materialistic activities. And he cannot understand what is this devotional service, what are these people doing. He just cannot understand. He will think the devotees are crazy. He cannot understand. So there was the word pasya is used to see, but who is actually seeing? Anisha pasyato mune, he says. Only a sage who has achieved ultimate truth can actually see with his transcendental vision. So the transcendental vision is spoken of everywhere in the scripture. Somebody may say, there are so many scriptures, they are available, they are written down, they are available in the form of books, why should we have a guru? What is the need of hearing from someone? Do you know, there was a very great professor, doctorate professor from abroad. He had conducted such a thorough study on the topic of Krishna. He had done a doctorate. He knew practically everything. In fact, he had done his doctorate on Jiva Goswami's literatures. Jiva Goswami has written about this one verse, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, a huge volume, multi-volume edition he has written. So he has researched on that and he knows in and out about the theoretical aspects of Krishna. But although he knows everything, he is still continuing to smoke cigarettes, he is still continuing to indulge in sinful activities, and he has not even an iota of faith in Krishna. How is it possible, even after doing research and getting a doctorate? So having a doctorate on Krishna is of no avail to go back to Godhead. So unless one achieves prasad leshana grihita evahi, it is said by Brahmaji in Bhagavatam, he says, atatite deva padambhujadvaya prasad leshana grihita evahi yanati tattvam bhagavan mahinno natandiye kopi chiram vichinva. He says at least a trace of the Lord's mercy or devotee's mercy has to be achieved by a man if he wants to see Krishna. Otherwise it's of no use. No matter how much you read. Even I remember in my own personal life, when I read Bhagavad Gita first time, it was all Greek and Latin for me. Nothing could be understood. But after I came in the assembly of devotees, associated with them, took prasadam, heard from them, asked them questions, gradually started opening up more and more. So only by hearing from an authoritative source can one come to the realization of understanding. There were two questions that were connected. If your senses are imperfect, what about you? What about your senses? As I said in the beginning, we have to admit that we are blind. Although we have the senses, we have the eyes, we are still blind, but we are seeking the eyes to see. Like you see, Devahuti is praying to Lord Kapila. Tasya tvam tamasandrasya dushparasya atyaparagam satchakshurjamanamante labdhamme tvat anugraha. She is praying tasya tvam tamasandrasya dushparasya atyaparagam. Now I have fallen into your abyss of ignorance, which is like a deep dark well, and nothing could be seen in that place. What is right? What is wrong? How to get out of the suffering? I don't know. Just like you imagine, if you are thrown into a well which is full of snakes and scorpions, how will they feel? And it is pitch dark, you don't know where are they going to come from. And they are bitten constantly. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj also gave a similar example. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kamadi kamadiya prapatam prasangam. He said the same thing. I have fallen into a blind well of ignorance. which is like a blind well full of snakes and scorpions. So she is saying that I have fallen into such a dark well, which is the materialistic way of life. I have achieved this material body, and I am unable to see what is truth, because this whole material world is pitch dark. You cannot even see your own hands, even with your own eyes, if there is no sun, isn't it? If the sunlight is not there, you cannot see your own hands in the pitch dark night. So this material world means it is an abode of darkness, abode of suffering, abode of ignorance. But she is praying, Sat Chakshur. Chakshur means eyes. Sat Chakshur means the transcendental eye. Janmanamante, after so many lifetimes I have achieved this transcendental eye, Labdham me tvad anagrahat. By your mercy, I have achieved this eye. She is saying to the spiritual master, Kapila. So, although we are blind, we are imperfect, that is true. Somebody may argue with us that you are imperfect, then how can you share perfect knowledge? Yes, we are imperfect and we are incapable unless we are abided with a transcendental eye to perceive the actual truth. So one has to become an atmadrik, or one who can see the soul, perceiver of the soul. And that is made possible by the spiritual master who gives you the transcendental vision. How is it achieved? That is achieved by hearing. One time, two people were sleeping in a room. They were the laziest of the people in the world. So the house was set on fire, and the fire started engulfing the entire walls and all the house. The fire started gradually approaching them. Although they started feeling a burning sensation around, one of the lazy bums, he turned around and said, "Bibi," he said. Bibi means back burning. He was so lazy that he could not even say back burning. He said, "Bibi," he said. And the other one was even more lazier. He also felt some burning sensation. He said, "MA," he said. "MA means move aside." So in this way, they were talking some slang language, Bibi and MA. Finally, they both were burnt to ashes because of the great fire. So this fire is compared to the forest of material existence in which you are living. The whole world is like a house on fire. How do you know that? You can see from the sufferings. You are seeing that you are getting sufferings from your own body and mind. You are getting sufferings from other living beings. You are getting sufferings from the nature through the natural calamities. And these sufferings are constantly inflicted upon you, moment after moment. And everyone is running here and there. You don't want to get old. You don't want diseases, we don't want death, but you cannot escape any of them. You are not spared. You have to undergo all of them. So everyone is suffering in the world, and if you are lazy, then our eyes will never open. Almost 99% of the population of the world, they die with a blind eye. Don't think they are physically blind. They have the eyes, but still they are called as blind. Why? As long as you don't have transcendental vision, you are considered blind, even if you have two wide open eyes. Still you are considered blind. Just like a cat cannot see in the daytime, like the owl, you know. The owl cannot see in the daytime. He's staring here and there, his eyes are open, but he cannot understand what is what. You have seen an owl? If you see an owl in the daytime, his eyes are wide open, but he sees here and there, but nothing is seen by him. But in the night, he can see everything in the dark night. Similarly, the night is compared to Indriya Tripti, sense gratification. There, everyone can understand everything very clearly. Everything is clear. How to enjoy, how to make plans, how to use my perverted intelligence in squeezing out some enjoyment from this. Exactly like the eagle who flies in the top of the sky but is looking sharply at a dead corpse. He cannot see something wonderful. He cannot see a beautiful flower. He cannot see a beautiful lake. But he only sees a dead corpse, although he is at such a far away distance. So a Griha Medhi or a sense enjoyer is one who, it's not that they don't have eyes, they have the sharp eyes, but they are operating only in the darkness. They only know how to enjoy sense gratification. In the daylight, they cannot see. So if one has to see daylight, one has to get the transcendental vision. You have to understand knowledge about God. So these two people, foolish people, they were lazy to wake up from there and escape. Similarly, 99% of the worldly population is lazy for spiritual life. They have time for everything else, but they don't have time for God. They are exactly like these two people, B.B. and M.A. They are exactly like that. You go to them, give them books, I have no time. Come to class, I have no time. Why don't you chant one round of Hare Krishna? I have no time. Lazy. So, they are exactly like this. Because of this no-time syndrome, they are going to be burnt by this forest fire of material existence. Burnt means they are going to pitifully die like cats and dogs without achieving self-realization. This is the verdict of Garga Upanishad. It says that the people who quit the world like cats and dogs without understanding the ultimate purpose of life, they are called as kripanas. So we should not be kripana like that. So one before death should achieve this transcendental vision. And that is possible. How? By hearing. Prabhupada talks about the example of hearing. That once a man was sleeping and he was woken up by somebody because there was a danger. There was an impending danger in the house. So he's woken up. Mr. John, wake up. Your soul. So Mr. John, he was hearing some voice. He was saying like that. He's turning left and turning right and he didn't know. He knew that some sound is coming. Where is it coming from? He was turning. And then again he went to sleep. Mr. John, again, who called the name? Actually he didn't even know that his name was being called. He knew that some sound is being produced. He was turning around. Just like this, John was trying to come out of sleep. All of us, when we hear Krishna consciousness, gradually we are coming out of bodily consciousness to the spiritual consciousness. And you are being bombarded. You are not the enjoyer. Really? I am not the enjoyer. You are surprised. Oh. See how you are suffering. You see yourself. Yes, I am suffering. I am getting diseases. I am getting old age. I am going to die. So when you hear this knowledge, you are bombarded. You are not the master. You are a servant. And everyone wants to become master in the world. And you try to lord over, you suffer. Then you understand, probably I could be servant. There is some little likelihood at least. Otherwise, why should I be suffering like this? And they are told, don't try to enjoy sense gratification. Offer everything to Krishna. And you go to offer to Krishna. But then little bit sense gratification your mind demands. Because again you go back to that sleepy state. Like if John was waking up, he was asking. And then again, again they call him, Mr. John, wake up! He made a jump up immediately from his bed. And then he could hear that his name was being called. Who called me? Then when he woke up, he immediately found that there was a thief standing at the door with a knife. And somebody called John and woke him up. And as soon as he saw, he immediately jumped up from his bed and thief ran away immediately. In the same way, all of us are gradually being evolved by the Kala Sarpa. Kala Sarpa means the serpent of inevitable time. It is just behind you. Just turn around and see. Are you able to see? That is the Kala Sarpa. We cannot see because we are not a God's eyes. There was one, Pingala. She made a very intelligent statement. She said, I am seeing the whole earth at the mouth of a huge black serpent, whose mouth is wide open, and it appears that the serpent is going to devour the globe. It appears like that. She said she could see the reality that everyone's life is a threat. Anybody may die at any time. So she could see that. Similarly, when you wake up, immediately you understand, what is this world? Who am I? What am I doing here? There is one very famous verse of Shankara where he says, who are you and whose are you? He's asking, Kasyatvam. He's saying, what is this sloka? Very nice verse. Kaye Kanta. Who is this dear one who is sitting next to you? Kanta is actually his dear wife. Kaste Putra. Who are these children whom you claim to be your Xerox copy? Who are they? Samsarayam Ativa Vichitra. This material world is a very vichitra place, mysterious place. Because you came alone as a naked person into this world. And you had only father and mother. When father died, you cried. When mother died, you cried. But then you start off a new relationship with his wife. It's an inverted proposition, isn't it? You invited a new attachment in your life. Already you had enough attachment to mother and father. And you have to cry when they die, won't you? Will you cry or not? When father and mother die. But then you wanted a new attraction, so you had a wife. So you are going to cry for a third person now. Special is asking, Kaya Kanta, who is this dear one next to you? Kate Putra. Not only that, after you get wife, you get 3-4 children. And when they go against your will and wish, then you have to cry that time also. Why are you? He is saying, samsarayam ativa vichitra. This material world is such a mysterious place. For one comes and picks up so many relationships, past relationships, and one is inviting his own trouble. He's saying, it's a vichitra place because you are a soul, the servant of God, and instead of loving him and serving him, you have got caught up in this trap. You have become a secure prisoner in this world. And he's saying, kashyatvam, whose are you? Whose are you means what is the answer to this question? I am Krishna. You are nobody else's. Don't say I belong to such and such, Mallik family, or I belong to such and such. Don't call your surname. When he's asking kashyatvam, you have to say, I belong to Krishna. This is the answer to this question. Kashyatvam, kaha kuta ayat, where have you come from? Astitvam, tadihar. Chintya Prata, he says. Please, kindly contemplate on these questions in your life. Don't be sleeping. So this verse also is waking you up. Wake up, wake up. What are you doing here? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is singing in the same way. He's saying, don't sleep on the lap of the witch of Maya. You are peacefully sleeping and enjoying Maya, but don't think you can go on like this in your life. One point of time you are going to be killed. Kota Nidra, Java Maya, Pishachira Kole. You are sleeping on the lap of the Pishach of Maya. So, all these verses are actually trying to wake up a sleeping, living entity. But how does the waking up come? Does it come by seeing? It comes by hearing. How Mr. John was woken up. In the same way, we have to wake up. How do you know a person has woken up? How are you sure that one has become awakened? It's very easy to understand. Just like in the morning, when you are sleeping, especially when you come to temple, you have to wake up in the morning, early morning for Mangala Arati. So you'll be woken up at 4 o'clock. And the alarm is going on. And then you feel miserable. And you say, what is this alarm? Put it on. Isn't it? Just want to stop it. Similarly, the Shastra is telling you, wake up! You are not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the friend. Krishna is the master. Krishna is the controller. Krishna is the proprietor. And you say, oh, enough. I don't want to hear anymore. You go to sleep this way. Immediately your mind puts you to sleep as soon as you hear this sublime ultimate truth. Why do you go to sleep? Because you just don't want to hear this ultimate truth. Not only that, you find it boredom to hear. Because you are being woken up. You don't like to be woken up. But then if you are really woken up, you won't sleep. Like in the morning, as soon as you wake up, your eyes are wide open, you have got away from the bed, and you are seeing the time, it is already 4:10 or 4:15. And you are supposed to be here at 4:30. You will rush to the bathroom and you will be happy and jolly. Good that I could wake up in time. Now I will take bath, I will dress myself and go to the temple hall. So there is a clear cut difference between sleeping people, partially woken up people, and fully awakened people. A person who is a sleeping person, alarm is ringing but he is fast asleep. Those are the people whom you call for association, they will never come. No matter how much you call them. For them, this is like Greek and Latin. They just can't understand. They are fast asleep in Maya. But a person who is semi-wake up, partially woken up, such a person, he finds that there is a big fight going on in his heart. Should I take the more Krishna consciousness, or should I go back to my old habits? He is being pulled like a tug of war. So what is his state? He is a partially woken up person. Half eyes open. He thinks whether I should wake up for 5 more minutes. I should sleep. But 5 more minutes can be compared to people saying, after I finish my engineering, I will take to Krishna consciousness. And then I get engineering. After I get a good job means which pays me well, till then I have to work hard. Then I will take to Krishna consciousness. Like that. But after I marry and settle, I will take to Krishna consciousness. After I get one child, I will take to Krishna consciousness. In this way, keep on postponing it. Procrastination is the thief of time. In this way, postponing up to the end of the life, and you find it is too late now, that death comes and invites you. So, people who are lazy, they keep on postponing like that. They are not ready to wake up. 5 minutes. Nowadays there are alarm clocks. You press it, and after 5 minutes, again it will count. Press it out. Again after 5 minutes. You've seen that? This is especially designed for lazy people. So, in this way you can see, people also want to keep on postponing Krishna consciousness. They don't want to wake up immediately. But if one is sincere, when he wakes up, he will find Krishna consciousness ecstatic. It is not static. Material world is static. Although in material world people are running here and there, they are considered to be 100% static because they are simply puppets who are made to act by the three modes of nature. They are not acting at all. Real meaning of action means that which is performed in the direction of God. Tell me how many people in the world are acting in the direction of God? That means they are static people. But devotees are ecstatic due to their dynamic service and devotional service. So in this way, one can wake up by hearing and then one gets the vision to see. Drishta, it is said. Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha sanityashah, it is said. Drishta dosha means you can see your own faults when you become awakened. And when you see your faults, you need to rectify them. And then you can be the real happiest person in the world. If God is all perfect, then why is His creation imperfect? Somebody else asked this question some class ago. As long as you are looking at the sun, there is no shadow. As soon as you turn away from the sun, immediately you find the shadow, isn't it? Similarly, it said Krishna Bahirmukha, it is said. Bahirmukha means to turn your face away. Krishna Bahirmukha Jeev Bhogavan Chakare Nikatastha Mayatare Chapati Adhare, it is said. When the Jeeva tries to do Bahirmukhas, when the Jeeva takes about turn from Krishna and tries to come to the material world and enjoy separate from Krishna, then it is said Maya, then it comes to Maya. Maya is called as a shadow. So one boy was arguing, you see, God only has created everything. So if I am smoking cigarette, tobacco has been created by God. That means we should smoke. That is why God has created. Otherwise, why did God give it? This was His argument. God has given liquor. That means we should drink. If it is not meant for us, then why did He send liquor? So very, appears to be a very interesting argument. But then I asked him, God has also sent dasura, poison. Why don't you eat poison? Why don't you die? That they don't want. As long as anything gives me enjoyment, I will do that, but if something gives death, I want to have that. But poison is also created by God, isn't it? Why people are not eating that? So, there is good and there is bad in the material world because it is a separated energy of the Lord. One time when Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in America, there was one girl, young girl, who was asking Prabhupada, why Prabhupada, in this world there are so many limitations and so many sufferings and so many bad things in this world. After all, everything has come from Krishna, God. Prabhupada said it is because it is separated energy. So Prabhupada told her, you may be beautiful, but your soul is not beautiful. He said, very striking example. He said, you may be beautiful, but your soul is not beautiful. Because it is your separated energy. See, separated energy means dinna, me, prakritir ashtada. Krishna says, bhumi, rapo, analo, vaju, kham, manah, buddhi, revacha, ahankara eti yame bhinna. Bhinna means separated energy. Me means mind. Prakritir ashtada. These eight elements are separate energy. So certainly they are not beautiful. They are meant for prisoners. Like if you go into a jail, like you go to Aravata jail or some jail, you don't find it a very beautiful place. It's a dirty place. Now do you find good people there? Do you find gentlemen in jail? Somebody must have done pickpocketing. Somebody must have done raping. Somebody must have robbed off a bank. And all these people are dumped in one jail. So the material world is exactly such a jail. Wherever you turn around, you find all kinds of people. People who are doing rubbish. People who are filled with lust. People who are infatuated with pride. People who are infuriated with anger. People who are greedy for everything of the world. You find such people in this world. Why? Because this world is nothing less than a jail. It is a jail. according to Shastra. So naturally it is going to have such people and such things, because it is a condemned place. So you don't find good things in a condemned place. So if you see citizens living in the country, you may see beautiful flowers, beautiful plants, beautiful orchards, and fruits, and lakes, and lotuses, which are filled in ponds. You may find all that. But if there's a condemned place, you don't find all this there. The very meaning of the word condemned place means it is not meant for living. It is not meant for a gentleman. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, this world is not meant for a gentleman, he said. So if you want to be a gentleman, this world is not meant for you. You have to return to God. Because pure-hearted people are very, very less in this world. So it is a chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibhakti durga. This material world itself is called as chaya. Durga is also called as chaya, shadow. So the original person is very beautiful, but we are only seeing the shadow. From the shadow you can exactly not make out who is the original person, what it is. Like sometimes you move your fingers and you may make a dog or you may make a deer by moving your fingers. Somebody may say it's a deer, but actually it is fingers. You can exactly not make out. But you know, by seeing shadow you know one thing for sure. There has to be something original. Otherwise there cannot be shadow. The very fact that there is bad in this material world shows that there has to be ultimate good. There has to be. There is no question of it. There has to be. So one can understand that there has to be original thing, unadulterated, pure, in the original state, existing in the spiritual world. There is very little time, I'll answer that also. One of the most important questions. From small explanations, we are extending them or extrapolating them and saying that the scientists are making many mistakes in their theories. But they have made many, many big things. This question may come in the mind of anybody because we have developed a blind faith in the scientists in the modern times. People have developed such faith in the scientists because of seeing things that they have created. That is why they say the word seeing is believing. They are saying computers, they are saying printers, they are seeing buses and cars standing here and there, they are seeing telephonic systems, communication, they are seeing aeroplanes flying in the sky. By seeing all these things, people's faith in scientists have tremendously increased, especially in the recent past. But people who are God conscious know that the most fundamental premise on which all these inventions are standing itself is tottering. Consider the example of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he was also doing something very magical, which cannot be imagined by a common man. He was reversing the seasons. Do you know that? Amongst us, who has the capability to reverse the seasons? Whenever he wanted fruits and flowers, he could order the seasons to change, and immediately the trees were filled with fruits. And whenever he didn't like rains, he ordered the devatas to stop the rains. Stop it, I don't want to see rains today. He could stop them. And he could literally treat demigods like puppets in his hands. All the devatas within this universe. And everyone was at his beck and call. And this Hiranyakashipu civilization was becoming more and more prominent as the people started thinking, now he is all in all. He is God. So instead of chanting Vishnu's name, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, instead of that people were chanting, Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha. They were chanting. Everyone. In fact, there was a law and order that everyone should chant Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha, his name. And he is the God within this universe. And he was in fact succeeding. 99% of the globe, 99% of this material world was chanting his names like that. In fact, it is said all the demigods except Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, except them, all the demigods were completely subjugated by Hiranyakashipu. And all the people started thinking, yes, what he says is working. He is ordering and everything is happening according to his will and wish. That is what people are thinking in the modern times also. Just see the scientists, they are not speaking, but they are doing things. Just see, they have done this, they have done that. So by seeing it, people develop more faith. In the same way, they had developed faith in Hiranyakashipu. And he was so strong that nobody could kill him. Nobody can defeat him because he had acquired boon from Brahma. That I should not be killed by a human being or by an animal, nor in the day or nor in the night. neither in the sky nor on land, neither outside the palace nor inside the palace. All these boons he had achieved. So it appeared that he was practically indestructible. He had become immortal. It appeared like that. And he had such a tenacious body, which he had achieved by dint of his severe austerities and penances he performed for Brahma. It is said his body was as effulgent as fire, and it was tenacious like Vajra. Even if one would take the thunderbolt of Indra and hit it on the chest of Hiranyakashipu, his chest wouldn't break. Rather, the thunderbolt would break. That was the tenacity of his chest. And such was his might. And with his might, he followed the philosophy of might is right. So he thought virtue was not right. For him, what was right? Might was right. So he employed his might to subjugate all the living beings within the universe. So he was controlling the Brahmanas. He destroyed the Brahminical culture. So he annihilated the Brahminical culture. He wanted to kill the cows. He told his people, go and kill the cows. Destroy all the gopurams, the temples. And wherever Brahmanas are performing sacrifices, he immediately destroyed those places. Go to the houses of Brahmanas. Destroy those houses. Set fire to those houses. And wherever there are pious trees yielding good fruits like oranges and apples and grapes and things like that, destroy those trees. Cut them. Wherever there are bridges for the people to pass through, make those bridges down to sand. Destroy them. So he gave order, and his frightful demon followed it. They followed it. They did that. In the same way, today you are finding, scientists are saying, forget God. Let us forget about God. Just do whatever your mind dictates you. Just do it. Don't worry about God and all these things. Don't worry about ethics. Don't worry about morals. All this is bogus. We just act according to our genes. Whatever our genes dictate, we act. We just act according to our instinct. Who has seen God? Who has seen morals? Why should we follow all morals? We don't have to. We have created so many things. So they are depending on their own strength, and they have found out so many things, and they have become proud of the findings, and they are thinking that we can go on with this philosophy. But again, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, etam drishtiva vashtavya nashta atmano alpa buddhayaha sapapanti ugra karmanaha chayaya jagato hitaha. Chayaya jagato hitaha. They have done a great disservice to this material world. This kind of people, etam drishtiva vashtavya, what drishti? By following the nastikata, by being atheistic. The so-called scientists, what they have done? Nashta atmano. They have destroyed the souls of all the people. Alpa buddhaya. They have very little spiritual intelligence. They have no understanding of what is God and what is spirit. Prabhavanti ugra karmana. They are flourishing. Where? In ugra karma. In performing all kinds of obnoxious, destructible activities. They are actually destroying the world with it. Chayaya. Jagato ahitaha. They are doing a great ahit to the material world. Ahit means it's opposite of hit. They are not benefiting the world, they are destroying the world. And although they are creating such a civilization, what happened to Hiranyakashipu finally? Do you know? A small, tender child, 5-year-old boy, Prahalad, he did not agree to chant Om Hiranyakashipu Namaha. He said, I will chant Om Narayanaya Namaha. I will chant the Lord's name. So the same way Hare Krishna devotees are telling the whole world, you go to hell, but we will chant Krishna's name. Come what may, we will never even budge 1 inch in our determination to chant Krishna's name. Day after day, month after month, year after year, we will progress ahead and ahead in Krishna consciousness. Let the whole world say any nonsense, we will not pay any heed to them, because we have faith in Krishna. So we may be minority, maybe a small number in this world, like Prahalad was minority. Probably Prahalad was the only one who was opposing his father Hiranyakashipu in the entire universe. Others were all afraid. So we may be minority, like Prahalad, but the small gender Prahalad, because of his exemplary devotion, he could invite Lord Vishnu to appear in between the pillars. When the pillar was broken, Lord Vishnu appeared from the pillar, making the word of his own devotee Prahalad true. And he appeared from the pillar in such a ferocious form, unexpected by Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was exactly like a rat in the hands of a cat. He couldn't escape. For some time, Narasimhadev was playing with him, catching him and leaving him, catching him and leaving him. In the same way, in the modern times, you see, man is doing illicit sex and the AIDS comes. And they say, now we have a medicine for AIDS. they may say that. What is the medicine? Have sex only with one woman. That is their medicine. They don't have any medicine. Don't think they have any medicine. If you think so, you are an illusion. They don't have any medicine. Nowadays you find everywhere banners saying that don't have sex with more than one woman. That is actually the verdict of the Shastra. But if you have already had what to do, you will try to administer the medicine and try to protect you somehow. And you will survive like a vegetable. So in this way, science are trying to give solution and material nature is sometimes defeating them. Sometimes giving a kick on the face and again taking back. Again another kick, again taking back. So just like Lord Narasimhadeva was leaving Hiranyakashipu and catching him and leaving and catching him, or like a cat leaving the rat and catching it again. In the same way, Lord wants to give a long rope so that he can tie a tight noose on the neck and hang them finally. So he's giving a long rope. This is the technique of God. He'll give you a long rope and finally he'll pull you back. Because when you have a longer rope, it's easy to pull you, right? If it is too short, it cannot be pulled easily. So in the same way, scientists are flourishing now, apparently flourishing, but where is this going to lead to? Just like last year we heard about the Y2K, and people were with bated breath awaiting 1st January 2001. At midnight you can see, many people got fever, some people got psychotic depression. They didn't know what's going to happen. They thought everything is going to go 0000 everywhere. And the Y2K, you all know what could be the repercussions that would have taken place if Y2K problem wasn't solved, right? You all know about it. It was said that there will be absolutely no transportation, no communication, no supply of vegetables and grains in the market. There will be no milk, and people will be starved to death, and people will have to run. Today's other meeting brought man too last year. But now they will say, now we found a solution, somehow we survived. So it is exactly like the cat which left the rat, and is going to catch him again. That was Y2K, now there will be no Y3K. The new thing will come later. So new thing is certainly going to come. So new syndrome is going to come. Like cloning, when they found out, they were very happy that we are able to do something new. But then immediately the ethics of cloning came into picture, right? Because if the ethics doesn't come into picture, man will destroy the whole universe. Similarly, when Nobel Prize was given, when the atom bomb was found, he felt so sorry that this atom bomb can prove to be so disastrous to the entire world. So people who are benefited by science, by the comforts of science, always argue that just see how much comfort science has given. Let us analyze, if science has given you comforts, does it in any way lead you back to God? Certainly not. In fact, it puts you under the grand illusion that this world is a comfortable place. You are trying to cover up all the sufferings of this world and put up a nice covering on them and sit on that and make a comfortable world so that we can forget God. So these comforts have only made us more and more forget God on one hand. On the other hand, in the name of progress, more and more, gradually man is inviting destruction. It is not comfort. There is little comfort and there is enormous destruction through science. We can see that materially. We were explaining in the previous so many of our meetings how science has brought about so much chaos in the society. We can see that we have forgotten the plan of God and we have gone far, far away from nature and away from God. So, although they have found out so many things, it's not that one cannot touch the nose like this. When you come like this, probably you may end up touching the nose or the ears. But there is a straight way that is given how to touch the nose. In the same way, it is said, by deductive knowledge that's coming in the scriptures, one should acquire knowledge about God. Otherwise, if you try by inductive knowledge, it's like searching. Try to understand this example. If there is a tree, it has a root. Now you want to find out the root of the tree, where you can water the tree, isn't it? But you may not exactly know where to water the tree. So you have to go to someone and ask him, where should I water? So he tells you, the root is hidden, you cannot see it. But I tell you, I have the authority. You water it and the entire tree will flourish. So just hear his words. You are not able to see, at least for now. But you take the authority and you water the root of the tree, then you see that every part of the tree is flourishing. But if you say, I will find out the truth myself. Let me go to every nook and corner of the tree and water one leaf. Because I want to be sure that I water every part of the tree. So water every leaf. It's exactly like a worm in one leaf, trying to find out the root. Can he find out himself? You are like that worm. Worm is in one corner of a tree, and he doesn't know where the root is, and there are so many branches, so many twigs, so many flowers, he just cannot find out the root, unless you accept an authority. So scriptures say, accept the Vedic authority. Hear from the Vedic authority, and you can know the truth. So, I began saying about this, that the very fundamental premise on which the science is standing is bogus. What is it? It is rejecting God. That's what Hiranyakashipu also did. He wanted to reject Vishnu, but establish such a wonderful society where he can enjoy separate from God. The same was done by Ravana also. Ravana wanted to make a golden kingdom without Lord Ramachandra. He wanted to enjoy the property of Lord Ram by taking Mother Sita away from Ram. In the same way, scientists are not different from these Ravanas and Hiranyakashipus. They are tiny Ravanas and tiny Hiranyakashipus. They have the same mentality. They want to establish a peaceful society without God. That is never to happen. That is never to happen. You try it. It may apparently happen in the beginning, but gradually you will see that the very same society is put into chaos and destruction, and people will kill one another. Like now today, the Star Wars are in the hands of scientists who are not at all self-controlled sages. One, like the Shastras, we are hearing from great sages who are completely controlled in mind and the senses. By hearing from them, we can become purified. But scientists, they are saying, I have a button in my hands, when I press it, the entire Russia will be finished. And Russians are saying, when we press our button, the entire America will be finished. In fact, they are saying, if the Star Wars comes true in the future, it is said more than 2/3 of the world population will be wiped out. And man will be living in island somewhere, in remote places, only they will survive. More than 2/3 of the world population will be finished. So Prabhupada is saying, man is incapable of creating life, but he is very determined to destroy life by putting atom bombs and nuclear bombs. This is the greatness of man. So if you see what science has done to the world, certainly it has given some comforts so that we can comfortably forget God. At the same time, it has created so many varieties of things to destroy the whole world in the name of Star Wars and nuclear bombs and pollution, or automobile accidents, or life centered around fast food and mental illness. All kinds of things are created. You can talk a lot. If you see, because of the development of science, what has happened to nature? The ozone layer has depleted, due to which all the ultraviolet rays are coming inside and causing diseases in human beings. Today, man has got far more greater number of diseases than the old man. Why? Because we have depleted the ozone layer and we are inventing new kinds of diseases. In the same way, it is said because of the entropy of the universe increasing, of the earth increasing, the snow caps are melting and gradually they are submerging many countries. Gradually, the ocean is going to flow into the land. Many countries are going to go underwater because of that. In the same way, we can talk a lot of things. We can talk about pollution, we can talk about so many things. So you go and ask the scientists how many destructible things that science has done. That overnumbers the facilities that science has awarded us. And even if you don't agree with that statement, that overnumbers it, still even if you consider that you have been awarded with wonderful facilities, mind you, that the very same facilities have made you forget God. What is the use of such facilities? Tell me. Even if you say that your life has become comfortable, you want to become comfortable so that you can forget God? What kind of life is that? So, it's useless in either way. So, either you accept science has given you comfort, it has made you forget God. If you say that it has increased the amount of destruction in the world, that means we are destroying ourselves by our own inventions. Either way, it can be proved that we are going away from God, because the very premise on which we are standing is doctrine. What is it? Not accepting the authority of God. So, put God in your life as the very first step in your life. So, in front of several zeros, when you put a one, then the value of that number becomes very great. Somebody may be having a sweet voice, 1-0. Somebody may have an engineering degree, another 0. Somebody may be a top sportsman or a state champion, another 0. Why? Because without God, all these things are shunya, 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 zeros only. But as soon as you become Krishna conscious, you go and tell someone, I am a state champion and I am a devotee of Krishna, then they will also want to become devotees of Krishna. Or you tell them, I am an engineer, they will respect your speech. Because you are an engineer and you are also a devotee, like now Gaurava was speaking so wonderfully. If he goes and tells some people Krishna consciousness, they will immediately want to take it. Because he's a university doctor, he's an engineer, respectable man in society. So although it is considered a zero in one hand, but because he has Krishna with him, it is like adding a one in the front. So the value increases. It becomes manifold like that. That's why it is said, Ishavastamidam Sarvam. The whole world is revolving around that Lord Isha, Ishvara. So he is the center of the universe. And to see him, we can get the eyes to see, as we are talking about seeing today. But for that you have to hear first. Be ready to hear. Attend the programs, attend the lectures, hear them attentively. So exactly like that Mr. John who woke up, we will also wake up to the reality. And we can see that Lord is the pivot of this universe. When you understand this reality, that Krishna is the center of this universe, and all living beings are centered around him, then you can achieve the real platform of universal brotherhood. You will not only consider all these boys to be your brothers, you will also consider even the cows and calves to be your brothers. You will not cut their throat to eat their flesh to satisfy your insatiable tongue. You will consider them to be your brothers. And you can consider every living being to be your brother. You will not even want to cause harm even to an ant. When is it possible? When we get the vision of God by sharing from authority sources. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So we will do 2-3 minutes, Kirtan, before you go up.